are we doing today? Great. All right, I don't know if you've noticed, but Pastor Ron is not here. Pastor Ken is not here. So just sit back, relax. Let's have some fun. Okay, the parents are gone. We can all play. We can have fun. So, let's not get too uptight, too serious this morning. All right. Mom's here. Okay, my mom is here. Okay, that's right. Pastor Mom is here. And it's actually funny. So you've probably noticed why there's a camera here. And we have people watching online, but also Pastor Ron and Pastor Ken are looking at me right now, tuning in, judging, taking notes of everything I say. And everything I say, we will go over in staff meeting. So it's funny. I kind of feel like the substitute teacher. You know, it's like, we're going to take a week off this week, and we'll go back to class next week. And I wish I had one of those roller tables with, like, the big fat screens. Yes. With the VHS. You know, let's watch a movie today. You know, we'll watch Remember the Titans for the 17th time or something. But no, I'm honored and privileged to get to speak to you today, and this is fast becoming my favorite topic, and we've been going through the Purple Book this year, and the Purple Book is our Foundations Bible study. It's a little bit more in-depth than the one-to-one, but it's been huge. And if you've been enjoying the Purple Book, can I just see your hand real quick? Have you been enjoying the series? Yeah, it's been great. We've been enjoying teaching it, and we are on the fourth month, April. We're on the fourth chapter and the fourth week, which is the fourth lesson. 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, okay? So we are on baptism in the Holy Spirit. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you that we can come and hear from you. Lord, I pray that you would give me the words to say. Father, I pray that even if my notes are just not on what you want, I pray that you would just correct me. Lord, I pray that I would speak your truth and your word. I pray that you would open up our hearts, that we would not just hear a sermon, Lord, but we would get transformed, that you would show up. And Holy Spirit, we honor you. We know you're here. Holy Spirit, we love you. Holy Spirit, we are so glad that we get to come worship you. Holy Spirit, we're so sorry that we ignore you a lot of the time, and we treat you like less than. Holy Spirit, we honor you, and I put you in the utmost position of honor in our church. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Let's break this word down real quick. So, baptism in the Holy Spirit, you've probably heard that, and a lot of the words we read or we see in church or in the Bible, they're kind of old Englishy. So, baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo, which is a word that means full immersion or submersion, surrounding, wrapped up in. Okay, so when you hear baptism in the Bible, it's not always referring to dunked in water. Okay, when I was growing up, a lot of times I thought baptism, okay, there's one baptism. You get baptized in water and that's it. But baptism very often refers to a spiritual experience, okay? But I could say if I was going to a, Dallas Cowboys game, I could be baptized in the spirit of the Dallas Cowboys because I'm so wrapped up and I love it, right? And I've seen people who get baptized at, maybe out on a dance floor. They are fully immersed, submerged in the rhythm. Okay? So baptism just means fully immersed. That's Garrett Grunder. That's what I was talking about. And, baptized in the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, there's a Greek word called pneuma, which means breath. Breath. It's a Greek word, breath. And the Hebrew word is ruach, which means breath of God. So it's a full immersion, submersion, wrapping up in the breath, the power, the spirit of God. Okay? And the cool thing about breath is right now you probably can't smell my breath. Yeah, praise God. I had a Mentos earlier, so I should be good. But you can't smell my breath. There takes a closeness to smell my breath. Proximity. So breath speaks of closeness with God. It also speaks of communication, right? When God created the heavens and the earth, he spoke it into existence. There was a breath. There's a creativity in the breath of God. So there's a closeness, a creativity, and there's a communication. So when we read this, we need to be fully immersed, submerged, wrapped up in the closeness, creativity, and communication with God. Does that make sense? So if you ever read in the Bible, baptism in fire or the Holy Spirit, it's talking about this concept, okay? It doesn't mean you're actually going to like re-baptize in water or baptize in actual fire, okay? Praise God. Glad for that. All right. So next slide, please. There are three specific baptisms that we read about in the Bible. Three baptisms. Like I said before, I only really knew about one baptism, but there are actually three. Okay, the first one is the Holy Spirit baptizes us in Jesus. Yes. This is called salvation. Salvation. Before we get saved, the power, the breath of God comes, breathes on us, our heart becomes regenerated, and the Holy Spirit baptizes us in the person of Jesus, what he did for us on the cross. That's baptism number one. All right, you remember in Acts 2? Where Peter preached that message after he got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they said, what must we do to be saved? And he said, repent, which is his first baptism. Okay? It's salvation. The second baptism is disciples baptize us in repentance or in water. This is what we'll do next week. This is a water baptism. Okay? So Jesus himself got water baptized. He went to his cousin, John the Baptist, and was baptized in water. Okay? So disciples, we can baptize people. If you're a disciple of Jesus, you can baptize someone else. This last month, through ENC, we have had several baptisms not done in our trough at church. Okay? We had Abigail and her small group, and Crystal and their small group, baptized Raquel in their apartment pool. We got to baptize somebody. Me and Garrett baptized somebody in apartment pool. And it was amazing, and the Holy Spirit was there, and it was powerful. But baptism doesn't have to be this big religious ceremony, and we see that all throughout the Bible, Amen. All throughout the Bible, that if there's a body of water and you are a disciple, you are qualified to baptize somebody. So the first one is salvation, the second one is water baptism, okay? And the third one we're going to talk about today is Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. This is called a baptism in fire. A baptism in fire. All right. So, next slide. Let's talk about the four Gospels. So, there are four Gospels. These are eyewitness accounts of Jesus. In these four Gospels, the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called synoptic Gospels, which means similar or same. These were written between 30 AD and about 60 AD, and they share about the last year of Jesus' ministry. Okay, then John, in about 80 or 90 AD, the Apostle John, he said, I see these Gospels, and I'm going to write the book of John because I want to talk about the first 2 years of Jesus' ministry. That's why the Gospel of John has a couple stories that aren't in the other ones, like the wedding in Cana, turning water into wine, the woman at the well. So he's talking about the first 2 years of Jesus' ministry, okay? All four Gospels have four things that each Gospel tells about. Only four things. We're on the fourth chapter, fourth month, fourth lesson, fourth week. Four Gospels, four things, okay? They all talk about, one is the birth of Jesus, the life of Jesus and the death of Jesus. His resurrection is number three. And the fourth is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that incredible? And a lot of scholars who maybe downplay the Holy Spirit, I would submit to you that they probably haven't looked at the Bible in a lens maybe inspired by God. And so Matthew 3:11 says, John the Baptist speaking says, I baptize you with water for repentance, the second baptism, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's where the third baptism comes in. I didn't make that up, okay? Literally, all four Gospels say Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Spirit, fully immerse you, submerge you, wrap you in the power, the breath, the creativity, the communication, the connectedness, the closeness of God, the Spirit and power of God. Okay? We see the same thing in Mark 1, What does 3 plus 1 equal? 4. No, I'm just kidding. We see the same thing in Luke 3. Conspiracy theory. No. Dun, 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 dun. All the math equations. Dun, 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 dun. Luke 3 and John 1, they all say the same thing. All four Gospels agree on this, that Jesus got baptized by John, who said, I will baptize you in water, but one who is coming is greater, who will baptize you in fire and the Holy Spirit. Okay? When Jesus got baptized, he got baptized by John, and it says the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Not as a dove. All right, I don't know about you, but in a lot of churches, they have the Holy Spirit is just a dove. Like, they actually think the Holy Spirit is a dove, right? When I was in college and I went to the University of Hawaii, they wrote an article about me as a freshman, and they said, Ben Dew is strong as an ox. They didn't say Ben is an ox. They said Ben is strong like an ox. So in the Bible, when you read the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, they did not say the Holy Spirit is a dove. So the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and the Gospel of John remained with Jesus. And this was the first baptism in the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, I really want to do three things today. Is one, I really want to honor the person of the Holy Spirit, and we'll talk about that more. That's number one. Number two is I want to give you scriptural accounts of baptism in the Holy Spirit. I don't want you just to take my word for it. And we know that in some churches that are charismatic and maybe more bent towards the moving of the Spirit, sometimes they neglect the Bible, unfortunately. So I want to be very scriptural today. So you can confidently look at the Bible and say, this is scriptural, this is good. In fact, all the teaching in this pulpit, we try to base it 100% on the truth we find in the Word of God. Okay? And we actually ask that you would look up and read the Bible yourself, and if you have questions, come to us, because we want to sharpen each other, and we want to be biblically accurate and true. Okay? So that's number two. And number three is I want to give you guys an opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit, to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay? So we're going to do five accounts of the Holy Spirit. Five accounts. So in the book of Acts, there are, I think there's six or seven, but these are five that are found in the purple book, and these are really, really powerful, okay? So there's no better place to look at baptism of the Holy Spirit than in the Bible itself, okay? The first one, Acts 2, 1 through 6. And actually, I encourage you to at this point, pull out your Bible on your phone, or there's a Bible in the seat back in front of you, but we're going to be in a bunch of scripture today, so this would be a good opportunity to read along. So the first one is going to be Acts 2, and verses 1 through 6. And so when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house while they were sitting. And actually, E.T., remember when you got filled with the Holy Spirit? You said you heard a wind? There you go. It's biblical. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, or baptized, fully immersed, filled, wrapped up in the power of the breath, the Holy Spirit of God, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Verse 5, now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Okay, and this is just a real quick side note, is that it says that they heard their own language. It didn't say the disciples spoke that language. So some people believe that tongues is only for other earthly languages, but the Bible never says that. The Bible says they heard an earthly language, not that the disciples spoke an earthly language. So tongues is a heavenly language. It's a heavenly gift. Okay? So that's the first account. The first account is the disciples, they obeyed Jesus. Jesus said, it's a good thing I'm leaving because you need someone who's going to be with you all the time. The healer, the comforter, power from on high. You need this to live this life, to be transformed and take this message to the ends of the earth and make disciples. So go to Jerusalem and wait. They waited and they got completely filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. And then go down to verse 38. Peter preached this unbelievable message. And everyone, so many people got convicted. And they said, Peter, what must we do to be saved? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized. So he said, first baptism is repent. Second baptism, be baptized in water, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the third baptism. Okay, so this was the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The next one comes in Acts 8, verses 14 through 17. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this, as the gospel began to go forth from Jerusalem to only Jews, it went to Samaria. Now, Samaria was a neighboring city. It was just north of Jerusalem, and Samaria was filled with Samaritans who were half Jewish, or partially Jewish, and partially Persian. But the Jewish people hated the Samaritans because they were a constant reminder that the Persians had come in and conquered their northern kingdom, okay? And there was animosity between the two people. But it says in the early church that as they received Jesus, they got baptized in the first two baptisms, that the church sent apostles, Peter and John, to go baptize them in the Holy Spirit. It shows that it's very important, this third baptism. It's extremely important. In fact, Acts, the book of Acts, is mostly dealing with how important the third baptism is, in my opinion. Okay? And so, if they didn't need the Holy Spirit, if they had gotten the Holy Spirit on their first baptism, Peter and John would never have went. So we see here two distinct baptisms. All right? Are you following with me? There's two distinct baptisms. Okay? And it shows that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was not just for the disciples or apostles. Some churches preach that the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit was only for the disciples or the 120 that were with Jesus. This right here shows that it wasn't. It was also for the Samaritans. Yes. All right, Acts 9. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Okay, so here's Saul. Saul was persecuting the church in Jerusalem, and he was on his way to Damascus, which is actually in Samaria, funny enough. Or actually, no, it's in Syria. And he was on his way north to persecute more believers, and he was struck blind. God appeared to him, and he was struck blind. Then this man, Ananias, he came, and he prayed for Saul. And it says, scales fell from his eyes, a miracle came, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think this is profound, because I think before we actually receive the Holy Spirit, not only physically do scales have to come off our eyes, but spiritually, yes, scales need to come off our eyes. And a lot of people resist the baptism of the Holy Spirit because it's uncomfortable, they don't like it, and we have scales spiritually. Scales spiritually. So this is Paul. This is the third account. Fourth account. Acts 10, 44 through 48. While Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard his message. So Peter was just preaching and the Holy Spirit, boom, fell. The circumcised believers, the Jewish believers, who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. Yes. Okay, so it was first Jews, yes. Now it's half Jews, now it's non-Jews, Gentiles. You see that it's an international move of God right now. Yes. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water, the second baptism. They have received the Holy Spirit, just as we have. So he ordered that they may be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Okay, so now it's full Gentiles, people who Jesus never talked to. Not disciples, not in Jerusalem. Jesus never talked to them, but they're in Syria, modern-day Syria, and they're listening to Peter, and they're getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit they're getting baptized in their midst, and they say, well, if the Holy Spirit is for these Gentiles, and they're getting saved, they received one, and then they received three, we got to baptize them number two. Does that make sense? Sometimes the second and third baptism don't always happen sequentially. So many times someone will get saved the first baptism. The Holy Spirit will baptize them in Jesus. They're saved. God saves them, right? Then they will actually get the third baptism. They'll then get the Holy Spirit, and then later they'll get baptized. Okay, that happens on campus all the time. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, when someone gets saved, wants to fill them right then and there. Okay? But they are all distinct and succinct. Okay? You can have the first baptism and not the third, the first and the second and not the third, right? Does that make sense? So some of us today have had the first baptism. We've been saved. We are saved. Praise God. You're going to go to heaven. Awesome. God loves you. He has a plan for your life. Some of you have been the first two. You've been baptized. Praise God. You are dead from your old sin and trespasses, and you have a new life in Jesus, but you've never been baptized in the third baptism. And that's why maybe you don't feel the presence and the power of God. And you look at some people like, why does when Ethan Miller prays for someone, they get healed, but when I pray for someone, they don't get healed, right? And we don't have to go into theology of healing right now, but the point is, why is there power of God in some people's life and not power of God in other people's life? Okay? So that was the fourth account. Now the fifth account. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus, which is modern-day Turkey, another nation over. Then he found some disciples. Okay, whenever you read in the Bible, they found some disciples, this means very serious, like actually saved people. Okay, so they found people who were saved, Christians in Ephesus, and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So Paul's making a clear distinction. You got saved, absolutely fantastic. But did you receive this third baptism? Did Jesus then baptize you in the Holy Spirit? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul, he said, well, then what baptism did you receive? Like, who led you to Christ? Like, you should have known. You should have known about this. And they said, John's baptism. So they were baptized by John the Baptist. In verse 4, Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Okay, that's the fifth account. Now it's another Gentile nation, Gentile believers, and they have received the first baptism. They are saved. But they have not received this baptism of the Holy Spirit, okay? And Paul didn't just say, hey, you know what? You probably got the Holy Spirit when you were baptized originally. God bless you. Let me preach for you. He said, no. You need to get rebaptized, surrounded, wrapped up in this breath, spirit, and power of God, okay? Is this making sense now? And what thing I love about Acts is Acts was written by Luke. Now, Luke wrote the book of Luke, was his part one, and Acts was his part two. They're actually a two-part series. And there was plans, they think, for a part three, just based on the way Acts ends. But Acts was written by a doctor. Luke was a Greek-educated doctor. Okay, this was not written by a Galilean fisherman, an uneducated person who just goes to a bunch of crusades, runs around speaking in tongues, wave flags everywhere. This was written by a doctor, a scientific medical man who said the Holy Spirit is real, and it's so real that it was such a priority that when the apostles got people saved, not only did they let them be saved, but they also introduced them and wanted to baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Does this make sense? So this is a very, 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 very important. All right. Let's pray really quickly. I just want to pray. Lord, your word's gone out. I pray that you would make us tender to your Holy Spirit right now, that you'd quicken our sensitivities. Lord, that we would not put walls up, that we would not get offended because we've heard a different teaching of this, that we would be open to whatever really is truth. And Father, I pray that you would move today. Amen. Okay, so now this is my favorite part, is who is the Holy Spirit? And when I was first doing the PowerPoint, I almost typed in accidentally, I put, what is the Holy Spirit? But I got stopped. No. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune Godhead, or the Trinity, right? I would never say, what is God? I would say, who is God? I would never say, what is Jesus? I would say, who is Jesus? Same thing with the Holy Spirit. Not, what is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? And I think a lot of reason that we have a problem with the Holy Spirit is we treat the Holy Spirit as a what rather than a who. The Holy Spirit is a person. Okay, and we know this not just because there's not just because Jesus says, hey, when I leave, it's good because the person, the Holy Spirit, will come to you like a person does, but the Holy Spirit is always referred to with emotions and characteristics of a person. So the Holy Spirit is a healer. It doesn't say healing power of God. It says a healer, a comforter, a counselor, right? The Holy Spirit is a helper. The Holy Spirit has power. We know that we can offend the Holy Spirit. You can't offend an object or just a force, but you can offend people. It says we can quench or suffocate the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit, right? And so the Holy Spirit is not just an ATM that we swipe and we get giftings and fruits from. The Holy Spirit actually is a person. And when you treat the Holy Spirit like a person, you pray to it and act differently with the Holy Spirit. Okay? If I treat the Holy Spirit just like a force, I'll say, the power of the Holy Spirit commands you, rather than, Holy Spirit, we invite you here. Holy Spirit, we love you. Holy Spirit, I give myself to you. Holy Spirit, I want to be used by you. Right? Sometimes we like to use the Holy Spirit as a sword that we use, rather than we are used by the Holy Spirit. You ever thought about that? We get used by the Holy Spirit. Whenever I get a chance to pray for someone for healing and they get healed, it's not because I channeled the forces of the Holy Spirit, you know, like Darth Vader, like I'm using the Holy Spirit. No, it's because the Holy Spirit used me. I said, Holy Spirit, I will be used by you. The Holy Spirit is a person. And, okay, this blew my mind. I was just doing a lot of studying this week about this, and the Holy Spirit is part of God, right? There's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, okay? And in Genesis, God says, let us, speaking plurally of the Holy Spirit, not pluralism, but there's multiple parts of God, that let us make mankind in our image. Okay, that was Adam. But Adam was singular. And then Adam was lonely. So what happened is God split the image of God into male and female. So male is not the image of God. Female is not the image of God. Both together are the image of God. That's why we have such a dividing forces in this culture to do feminism and masculinity, to separate the image of God. And the power and the beauty of the church and community is that we have both male and female, and us together we have the power of God, okay? And the truth is that a lot of masculine qualities that we see in the Bible are attributed to God the Father or Jesus. Okay, where do the feminine qualities go to? The Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not trying to start a cult of like the goddess of the Holy Spirit, okay? I'm not saying the Holy Spirit's feminine. The Holy Spirit is still masculine, but many of the feminine earthly traits that we see are ascribed to the Holy Spirit. And when I got this, it changed the way I operated with the Holy Spirit, right? With God, I can be, God, I repent, I'm sorry. With the Holy Spirit, I have to say, I want to spend time with you. I love you, I'm sorry, I need you, I need you in my life. I honor you, I respect you, I protect the relationship we have, right? It's very different the way you interact with the Holy Spirit, okay? And we know this also from the Bible, and it's even the way that Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. Okay, Jesus says, you can curse me, you can blaspheme me, and I'll forgive you. But if you ever blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you will never be forgiven. That's like a husband saying, you can talk bad about me, you can slander me, but if you ever touch my wife or talk about my wife, it's game over. That's what Jesus and God are saying about the Holy Spirit. They're very protective of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is not just, you know, wishy-washy feminine. The Holy Spirit has power. Power. The power to bring people to Jesus, the power to raise the dead, the power to open blind eyes. All of the amazing might and power to overcome and conquer is found in the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, the Holy Spirit is the most ignored, underappreciated person of the Godhead. We don't even acknowledge his existence a lot of times. We just do about our own things, and we don't even talk to the Holy Spirit ever. And I had a friend back in New Zealand. This is a little extreme, but when he was driving, he would always keep the seat next to him completely empty. He would not put anything on it. No drinks, no bags, nothing. Because it reminded him that he was not alone. The Holy Spirit was always with him. And it said it caused him to live very holy because he knew the Holy Spirit was with him. Right? It's really hard to do terrible, bad things when someone's right there watching you. That's all-powerful, all-knowing, and really loves you. Right? And I love how in the Bible it calls the Holy Spirit the comforter. All right? And mostly when kids fall over and get hurt, they don't normally run to dad straight off the bat. He'll say, rub some dirt in it. Here, spit on it. I'll pee on it. You'll be fine. You know, just kidding. Kids run to mom. Don't pee on any open wounds, please. I'm only 29. I got time. I'll mature. They run to mama, don't they? They run to mom, the comforter. This is not every mom and dad, okay? Don't get sensitive here. I'm just talking generally, okay? But we run to the Holy Spirit. When we get hurt, we run to the Holy Spirit because it's our comforter, it's our helper. And I challenge you today, if you treat the Holy Spirit and honor the Holy Spirit as a person rather than an abstract force, your life will dramatically change. And Acts is all about people treating the Holy Spirit like a person rather than a thing, okay? Number two, the Holy Spirit is a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift, okay? Now, if I said, hey, Devon, guess what? I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to give you a Lamborghini on Tuesday. You'd be fired up, right? And then on Tuesday, you show up, and all you have is a steering wheel of a Lamborghini. You'd be like, this is not the gift I was promised, right? Okay, many people do that with the Holy Spirit. God said, I'm giving you the person of the Holy Spirit, the full gift, but all you want is tongues. All you want is to wave your flag, or all you want is just to, you know, live a sinless life. You just want part of the Holy Spirit. You don't want the whole of the Holy Spirit, right? See, when we pursue the person of the Holy Spirit as the entirety of the gift, we don't actually care what gifts or fruits we get, because that's not the point. We get the person, right? Like, I didn't marry Ashley, sorry, that was a little Lynn. I didn't marry Ashley just because, you know, she's got a great Honda Civic and joint bank accounts and everything like that, right? I didn't do that. I wanted her. I wanted her person. And because we have each other, I get benefits. Okay, so here we go. Back on track. So, but the point is, when we get the Holy Spirit, you may get tongues, you may not. Doesn't matter. You may get prophecy, you may not. You may be preaching on a stage, you may not. You may lead thousands of people to Jesus, you may lead one. But that's not the point. The point is you get the person of the Holy Spirit, the entire gift, with you. And that's what the church needs. Honestly, we don't need more gifts without relationship with the Holy Spirit. Okay? I know all of you have either seen on TV or been to a church where you see gifts, apparently, and it's just out of order. It's just crazy. And we'll talk about that in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, that's point four. First, point three. The Holy Spirit is dynamic. Yes. It's alive. Yes. It's moving. The person of the Holy Spirit is alive and moving. Now, when you deal with the Holy Spirit, you can do two things, two T's. Over here, you can be a tombstone. a tombstone. You are a monument to something that once was alive, but now is dead. Okay? So, for instance, if you hear someone talk about, wow, back in, you know, I'm gonna hurt your feelings, Keith, but back in like the Jesus move, back in the 70s or 80s, that was when the Holy Spirit was there. No, you're a tombstone. Jesus is alive now. The Holy Spirit's alive now. Don't be a tombstone. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you guys are whitewashed tombs. You've built monuments to when the Holy Spirit moved with Moses and Abraham and the prophets, but I'm here right now. So don't be a tombstone. Don't set up a monument, right, to something that happened before. I'm right here, okay? The second thing is over here, we can be a temple of God, which hosts the living, dynamic, active presence of the Holy Spirit, okay? The Holy Spirit is a river. It flows. It's dynamic. It's moving. It's water. Its presence is here with us. So I'm not going to go say, hey, guess what? Let's go back to when I got saved or my first miracle. No. Who's going to get saved today? What miracles are you going to do right now? Lord, what do you want to do with me in this life? Lord, what can I do? I want to commune with you. I'm not going to always just go to look back to, wow, that conference was just so amazing, or that church experience, or why can't it be this way? That you're just building a monument. It was alive. It was awesome, but it's dead. You're honoring it, but it's gone. It's not there anymore. The Holy Spirit is here now. What does the Holy Spirit want to do in your life today, this week, right now, in your family, with your friends? How are you going to host the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit's dynamic. Number four, the Holy Spirit always seeks to honor God. Yes. It's not distracting. It's never out of order. Okay, if someone in this service got up and started yelling and screaming, jumping around and ran around and threw a flag at me or something, that's distracting. And we're learning about the Holy Spirit right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, but I've been to church services where people are distracting. The Holy Spirit never distracts from God. It honors God. Actually, moves of the Holy Spirit very often happen in and around the preaching of the gospel, yes, the honoring of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is meant to emphasize and enhance honoring God. It's not meant to distract at all, okay? Now, distracting people will use the Holy Spirit and be distracting, okay? But the Holy Spirit is all about order. It's about family. The Holy Spirit's all about solidarity, and the Holy Spirit's all about healing and honoring God. Okay? So if you get a rush and you know, I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to do something and you know it's going to distract, I would say wait and be patient. Okay? And as you hear the Holy Spirit speak to you and talk to you and tell you to do things, the first thing is you have to know, Holy Spirit, okay, what did you say? Why did you say it? And when do you want me to act on it, if ever? Sometimes the Holy Spirit's told me things that he doesn't want me to act on. That's really difficult, okay? He'll give me discernment about something, but I'm not supposed to act on it. But we've all met people who the Holy Spirit has told them something, and they will tell everybody immediately right then and there, yes, right? Holy Spirit doesn't always do that. The Holy Spirit likes to just talk to us like he did with Abraham, right? Like he did with Moses. He talks to us, okay? The Holy Spirit is always talking and moving. The Holy Spirit always seeks to honor God. We should always seek to honor the Holy Spirit, who will honor Jesus, who will honor God, okay? And we should never use the Holy Spirit to control it or try to use giftings or use characteristics to manipulate people, to control people. We need to give ourselves to the Holy Spirit and say, use me. And let's honor God. Okay, that makes sense? So those four. Holy Spirit's a person, not just a force. Holy Spirit's a gift. The Holy Spirit is dynamic, living, active, moving. I didn't mean to pick on you, Keith. It just reminded me. The Holy Spirit seeks to honor God. Yes. It's not distracting or out of order. Yeah, I apologize. I'm sorry. We'll strike that from the record. It's not what I meant. Okay. So, who is the Holy Spirit for? Luke 24:49. Okay, I am going to send you, this is Jesus speaking, what my Father has promised. So the Holy Spirit is often called the promise by Jesus, what I've promised you. But stay in the city of Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high. Then Acts 2:38-39. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The promise is for you, your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So he's saying, listen, this Holy Spirit's not just for my disciples, it's for everyone hearing, it's for your kids, so generations, that's us, 2,000 years later, and for all whom the Lord will call who are far off. All right? It's not just for Jewish people. It wasn't just for the disciples. It wasn't just for first century church. It was for us. If Jesus has called you into the first baptism, he's called you to the second baptism, and he's called you to the third baptism. So the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, communion with the person of the Holy Spirit is for us today, straight from Peter. So how do we receive the Holy Spirit? Number one, we ask God for it. Yes. This takes a great deal of trust, especially if you've grown up in a very strict denominational background. You have to ask God for it. It takes trust. Luke 11:13. "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Okay, he's saying, listen, humanity, newsflash, we're all evil. We talked about it today in the one-to-one, is that there's no good people, right? No one's good. That the same sin that Adam and Eve did is the same sin Lucifer did, is the same sin we do every day, which is we put ourselves above God. We may go to church, but we are the Lord of our life. We decide what we do when we do it, okay? So he said, you guys are evil, but you know how to be good parents. You know how to give your kids food. You know how to clothe your kids, give them housing, love on your kids. How much more who God, who literally sent his son to die for you, how much more will he give you the Holy Spirit if you ask of him? And I love this. The Holy Spirit never possesses you. Okay, demons can possess you if you give them access. The Holy Spirit never possesses. It partners with you. The Holy Spirit is the perfect gentleman, right? Remember in Acts 2, it says they got filled with the Holy Spirit and then they spoke in tongues. It was a partnership, right? When I'm on campus and I feel the Holy Spirit tell me, hey, go talk to that person and, you know, just offer to pray for them, I can either say no, Holy Spirit, or yes, Holy Spirit, right? When I get that little nudge in the morning, it says, hey, why don't you come spend time with me? I can either say no, Holy Spirit, or yes, Holy Spirit. Same thing with my heavenly language, with prophecy, with preaching, with mercy, with administration, all of the amazing gifts that God has for us. I can say yes or no. Same thing with self-control, same thing with patience, with love, with mercy, all these things. I can partner with the Holy Spirit, okay? So the Holy Spirit doesn't possess us. We have to ask, hey, you know what? If you're real, Holy Spirit, I want you, and I need you. All right, number two. It comes with the laying on of hands in prayer. Now, this should not turn into some religious thing where the man of God must lay his hands on you. No, we see throughout the Bible that there's many times that the Holy Spirit touches people in a sermon or when they're just walking. Or I know people who the Holy Spirit's filled them when they're just by themselves in their dorm room. The key concept here is faith. There's a faith in seeking that. Even if when I ask, I have faith that you're going to deliver. And it's a community thing. And the Holy Spirit never gives you a gift just for yourself, right? You know, if I'm a parent and I've got four boys, I'm not being prophetic, but just say I have four boys. Amen. Come on now. Amen. And I have like five boys. Amen. Yeah. Reuben, Simon, no, I'm just kidding. I call the oldest and say, hey, here's a basketball goal and a basketball, okay? And my oldest, let's say he sets it up and only he shoots, and his four brothers want to play, and he says, no, this is for me. It's my gift. He is not representing why I gave the gift at all. I wanted them all to play together. So the Lord gives us gifts that always deal with other people, right? The only personal gift we get is tongues, is the gift of our heavenly language. But prophecy is for others. Gifts is for others. Generosity is for others. Mercy is for others, right? Encouraging words, miracles, healings. There, you know, you would not be a great healer if you just, every time you got sick, you just prayed for yourself. No, you have to pray for others, right? It's like in Mafia, yeah. If you're just the police, you just protect yourself. Or no, the doctor, you heal yourself every time. Yeah. No, it's not for that. It's you're supposed to use your gifts to help others. So the faith comes in that I'm believing with my family for the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to use these gifts to bless my family. Does that make sense? So we should not want these gifts to control us or be like, look, I can speak in tongues, you cannot. I can prophesy and you cannot. No, we want to bless and honor God, and we want to bless our family. Does that make sense? But it takes faith. Acts 8:17. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Okay. Does this make sense this morning?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to end a little differently today. Is we are going to, we're going to break, and we're going to have normal like prayer, and we're going to have leaders who can talk to you and pray with you, but we're going to have another group that we're going to invite you to come sit right here, right directly, immediately after the service. Don't even go to the bathroom. Just come right now. I'm just kidding. But just right here. And if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray for you this morning. Okay? And so, but you're going to have to ask. And we're going to ask for the person of the Holy Spirit, not a singular gift. Okay? Many of you are going to speak in tongues today if you come. It's just, it's very common, okay? That doesn't mean you necessarily got it or you didn't get it, okay? I know people who have filled with the Holy Spirit, do miracles, and never speak in tongues, okay? Some of you may prophesy today. Some of you may get healed today, okay? Some of you may start hearing and feeling the presence and power of God in a way you never have. But that's not the goal. The goal is we need to be baptized, immersed, fully submerged, wrapped up in the person of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Okay, so I'm going to pray for all of us, and once I pray, you're dismissed, but if you want to get baptized, myself and our prayer team will be over here, stage left, your right, right here, okay? So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. We love you. Holy Spirit, we honor you. I thank you that you're just amazing, that you actually love us, and you comfort us, and heal us, and you want a relationship with us, and Jesus, I thank you that you want to baptize us in the Holy Spirit, and Lord, I just pray right now that there's people here who actually really need, they maybe they're filled with the Holy Spirit, but they need a healing. They need emotional healing. They need healing in their family. Maybe they operate in the gifts, but they feel far away from the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would move right now. And whatever you want to do, we just give way to. Lord, I thank you that we can trust you because you want to honor God. And you don't have to put your hand up and say, every eye closed. There's a couple people in here who are dealing with some intense anxiety, some really extreme anxiety. And the Lord wants to set you free today. And if that's you, I want you to just believe this in your heart. And I'm going to pray for you. Jesus, I pray right now that you would touch these three or four people that are dealing with anxiety, and I break the curse of anxiety over them. And I ask that you, Holy Spirit, would come and completely heal them and bring them peace. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Be with them. Yeah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, if you need any healing or anything after the service, I just encourage you just to wait around, and after we do the baptism, we'll definitely pray for you. But there's miracles can happen today because the Holy Spirit loves us. And we've honored the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit wants to honor God through miracles. So Lord, I thank you for all your people. Father, I pray that we would have amazing weeks where we don't just do religious things, but we actually grow in intimacy and relationship with you, and that we honor your Holy Spirit in our lives. And Lord, we bless your name, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, thank you for coming. Please don't feel like you have to leave, but right now we're gonna do some baptism in the Holy Spirit. So God bless you, and thank you for coming to church today.